Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want you to be a part of it. Toll-free number, 844-322-2742. Give us a call right now. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's great news in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're all given a brand new heart. And we, you know, when we look through the Word of God, we see the problem has been with the heart of man.
Yeah.
And God corrected that in Jesus. And one of my favorite verses, I actually just love this verse, is way back in the book of Deuteronomy. It's Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And it reads this way, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring, so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, that you may live." So here's a prophecy. God had rescued the people of Israel. They were enslaved to Egypt for 400 years. God raised up Moses, delivered them out of that lifestyle, and brought them to Mount Sinai. They were given the law. And then they moved through the desert for 40 years, being guided by the very presence of God himself. And yet they refused to really trust him, to give their hearts to him. Why? Because they kept thinking about life in Egypt. That's where their hearts were. And so in the midst of this, as they were gathering on the other side of the Jordan to finally enter into the promised land, Moses gathers them, and he restates the law. But in that, he gives this prophecy that there's going to be a time when your heart is going to be made right, and it is going to be circumcised, and you will be able to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You can't do it now. It's impossible for you to do now. It can only happen after I do something to your heart. Well, we see kind of a thread of passages that deal with the heart. Jeremiah talks about the heart being deceitful. Who can understand it? We see in Ezekiel the promise of a new heart and a new spirit in the new covenant. In Matthew chapter 15, we read some important information about the heart of a lost person. And Richard, why don't you just read that passage for us?
Okay, this is Matthew 15, verse 19. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander." Oh boy.
pretty clear. There's a real problem with the heart of the unregenerate man. And we want to love God. We want our hearts to be affectionate toward him. We want our hearts to be drawn toward him. But what we find is this evil that is there, that all these other thoughts of murder and anger and sexual immorality and the list that you just read, that's what the heart of the lost person is. That's what my heart was. That's what your heart was before knowing Jesus Christ. But when you came to Christ, something happened to the heart. You received a circumcision of the heart. You were given a new heart, and so that you could love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. So only those who have been born again of the Spirit of God have the heart that can truly believe and trust in Jesus Christ. That's what repentance is all about. It's the moving of the heart from the things of this world to Christ Jesus himself.
Yes.
And God did that through the power of the Holy Spirit. So part of your identity as a new believer in Christ is the fact that you have a new, believing, trusting heart, one that actually loves Jesus. Why? Because God has poured his love into your heart. And once it's there, you're just going to respond to God in love. Now, what does that look like? You know, this generation, this culture that we have right now, love is nothing more than a feeling, nothing more than an ushy-gushy feeling. And so we can go in and out of love all the time. But as far as God's concerned, love is more of an active word. It's an action. It's a verb. And our love for God is demonstrated by our faith in him. So we had unbelieving hearts. So there was nothing inside of us that was moving us to trust God in any way, shape, or form. But once that gospel message hits, something happens to our heart, and now we want to trust him. That's our deepest desire, is to live by faith in the one who loved us and gave himself for us. That's how we love God, by living by faith in him. That's his command, that we trust Jesus, that we believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. When we do, we're demonstrating our love for God the Father, and we can do that because we've been given a new heart through faith in Jesus Christ.
That is good stuff. That is basic gospel, friends. And, you know, the sad part of this is that for centuries, the truth of the gospel has been added to and covered over with layer after layer of the do's and don'ts of religion. Eons of men being loaded down under a legalistic form of Christianity. And what we're about at Basic Gospel is proclaiming the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Guys, I was having some work done at my house, and I was noticing, and this was a very, very clear analogy to me. I had someone power washing. And it seems to me that power washing is what we need to do with what's been happening to Christianity through the centuries. And so blowing off the coatings of debris that have smothered God's grace since the cross, people need to hear and believe that God loves them, that he has not turned his back on them, and that he'll never leave them nor forsake them. That's what we're about here at Basic Gospel. But friends, we can't do it without you. We need your help, your support, to keep the truth on the air and online so that others can hear, believe, and live the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us if you can. Donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742, and you can give through the Basic Gospel app or with PayPal. And when you make your August gift, we're going to send you a copy of this excellent CD series, The Real You. It's all about your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, the right to become a child of God or be a child of God, what all that means. So we'll send you a copy of it, The Real You, as you make your gift during the month of August. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. We have plenty of open lines. And Bobby, what do we have here?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit today about this guy who hijacked the plane in Seattle, mm-hmm. and did all of those stunts and, you know, quite spectacular, some of the things that he did flying that plane, and then crashed it and killed himself. And they found the black box, and here's one of the quotes that he was saying as he was talking to the tower there. And he said, "Man, the sights went by so fast, I was thinking, like, I'm going to have this moment of serenity, take in all the sights. There's a lot of pretty stuff, but they're prettier in a different context." And this just really reveals the emptiness of the heart. Yeah. We're talking about the heart today, and, you know, out of it, out of the unregenerate heart, comes all of these evil things, thoughts of murder and anger and sexual immorality and adultery, and that list was a really, really dark list. But all of that is coming from a heart that is empty, that mm-hmm. is empty of the life of Jesus Christ. And we see it in this act that this Richard Russell did in stealing the plane, killing himself. What was that? It was trying to find something that would fill his heart, and not being able to do that. And the pain of that was so much that he said, I've got to take one last run, and then I'm going to end it. And yeah. It's sad, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
But in this culture that we live today, we're so shallow. We live by tweets and sound bites and all of those things, and we can't find fulfillment. We can't find completeness in those sound bites. We may get a little motivation here and there, but in the end, we're still empty inside, and the heart is still the problem. And there's only one way to cure the heart, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ. There's only one way to make the heart new, and that's have Christ himself give us a new heart, one that is obedient to him, one that believes in him, one that wants to trust in him and finds its completeness and contentment in him. So this was really an interesting story, just what happened, just the fact that he was able to steal an airplane from international airport.
And just take
off. I mean, was nobody watching? Did nobody see what was happening? Yeah. Yet he got a truck, he towed it out there, got in. There's no key in an airplane. He just started it, and off he went. And then he did these spectacular airplane maneuvers and then crashed it. And you say, wow, that is just an incredible story. But it speaks to kind of the underlying truth of mankind apart from Jesus Christ. And I just thought we would bring that up and talk about it a little bit today. There are a lot of listeners that are tuning in right now who have empty hearts, who are trying to figure out the solution to their heart. And we want to encourage you to take a look at the gospel, because that's the only place you're going to be able to go to find a solution to the heart. Every other solution that is made available to man out there in the world is merely a Band-Aid. It's only going to cover over the problem. It's not going to get to the core of it and fix it. We need something to fix us, and God's the only one. He made us. Sin kind of disrupted what we were like. It put us in a state of depravity. Not that we're all as bad as we can be, but we have that potential.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because something happened to our hearts. And so God had to come back and fix us, and that's why he sent Jesus. So if you're out there, and if you're looking for that moment of serenity, if you're looking to find peace, let me encourage you to listen to the gospel message, the fact that God so loved you that he sent Jesus into this world on your behalf so that you could have everlasting life. And here's what Jesus did for you. He went to a cross and he took your sins. Every single sin that you have ever committed, will ever commit, he took every single one of them into himself. And he became a sin offering. He offered up his very life. He shed his blood to release you from the power of sin and death, so that you could have a new heart and new life in him. He died, he was buried, showing that he's put an end to that old way of life, and then he was raised back to life on that third day so that you could have abundant life, his life, through faith in him. And if you're looking for serenity, if you're looking for peace, would you open up your heart? Jesus Christ is there knocking at the door of your heart right now. Would you open up your heart and say, Jesus, I know you're the answer. And so today I'm confessing with my mouth that you are Lord indeed, and I am believing in my heart that God raised you from the dead. And so I receive you into my life. I thank you for the forgiveness that you have provided for me through your shed blood, and I receive your life today. If you will do that, I guarantee you that serenity you are looking for will be yours. That contentment, that completeness that you are looking for out there in the world will be yours through faith in Jesus Christ.
And if anyone, Bob, would like to take you up on this and make it known to us, we would love to get some information and some materials into your hands. You can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742 with your information. We'd love to know that we have a new brother or sister in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, as I said, we have some materials we'd like to get into your hands. So again, 844-322-2742 is available anytime, day or night. Right now, if it's the 3 o'clock hour, it's open, and we have live lines into us. If you'd like to talk with us, give us a call, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, a question that was sent to us from David through the Basic Gospel app. He says, I was listening to the program, and the comment was made that to walk in the Spirit is to keep our eyes on and focus on the love of God. Can you comment on this again and give any scripture references? Thank you, guys, for all you do. This ministry has opened my eyes to the walk of grace and has changed my life over the last few years.
Well, we certainly thank you for those kind words. But to walk in the Spirit is really to walk in the love of God, to trust that God truly loves you and has made that love known to you through Christ Jesus. So I think we need to go to the book of Ephesians to really answer that question. Walking in the Spirit is something Paul speaks of in the book of Galatians, but he gives some real insight into what that walk looks like in his letter to the Ephesians. So in chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians, he says a prayer. He basically says, I'm praying on your behalf. And this is what he prays. He prays that we would be strengthened in our inner man through the Spirit of God, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. So that's pretty powerful in and of itself.
Yeah.
We want Christ to be comfortable in us, and we want us to be comfortable with Christ living in us. So he prays that, and that's coming through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, I want you to be strengthened again through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that you may know the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of God that surpasses understanding. So he wants you to have a heart experience of the love of God. So that's Paul's prayer for us in Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19. And I believe that's a prayer that we should all adopt personally.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to pray something every single day, that's the prayer. Lord, show me the height and depth and length and breadth of your love, not so I know it intellectually, but I know it experientially, so that I can respond back to you in love, and so that I can pass that love on to others. And then in Ephesians 5, he says for us to be filled with the Spirit. And at the end of that passage in Ephesians 3, he says the result of it is that we're going to be filled to the measure with the fullness of God. And then in Ephesians 5:18, he says, be filled with the Spirit. Well, if we're being filled with the Spirit, we're being filled with an understanding of the love of God, an experiential understanding of the love of God. So if we're walking by the Spirit is going to be renewing our mind, teaching us about the love of God. And as we move through life, then all of our decisions, all of our actions are going to be motivated or compelled or constrained by the love of God. So to walk in the Spirit is to understand what the love of God for you is all about, and then to experience that love as you deal one with another. Richard, your thoughts?
I love how closely what Paul has said here in Ephesians matches up with what Jesus said in his prayer in John 17. And he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So what does that look like? Just exactly what we read, being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking by faith, walking by grace through faith with our eyes fixed on Jesus, because he has made it possible for us in his death, burial, and resurrection to actually know him,
yeah,
to know him in a way we could never have known him on our own. You know, and we talk about this search for serenity, this guy flying. Everything in the world system, the way Satan manages it, everything economically, spiritually, technologically, socially, all of it is designed to pull us away from God, to isolate us by ourselves so that we know not ourselves, we don't know God, we don't know anyone else. He wants to kill us. Satan wants to kill us. Jesus came and said, this is eternal life. Get to know me.
Yeah.
And Paul explains it beautifully here in Ephesians.
Yes, he does. And you and I, that's our favorite passage,
yeah.
John 17:3, the definition of eternal life, to know God the Father and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And when you know him, you know he's love, because mm-hmm. God is love. And that's what we didn't know about God before.
Yeah.
Sin was telling us a different story about God. Sin has a narrative it wants us to believe. And so it is very good at crafting that narrative,
yeah,
and pointing out things in our own lives that feed into that. So we conclude that God must be angry, that God must mm-hmm. be against us, that God is just some judgmental ogre in the sky ready to zap us at any given moment. But that's sin's narrative.
Yes.
That's deception. It's not truth. The truth is demonstrated for us in the cross. And while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And what do we see there? We see the love of God.
Yeah.
That's the truth about God that we find out through Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you've joined us today. Final question from Perry. He says, please tell me about if you receive a prophet, you shall receive a prophet's reward, according to Matthew 10:41. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. What does he mean by that?
Well, it says there in verse 40 of Matthew chapter 10, whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. So the prophets of the old, they were all telling the story of Jesus. So the law and the prophets, remember in Luke 24, after the resurrection, Jesus meets with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And he takes them back to the law and the prophets, and he shows them everything about himself. He even said to the Pharisees in a conversation, you diligently search the scriptures in hopes that you'll find eternal life. But these are the scriptures that speak about me, yet you refuse to come to me for life,
yeah,
to receive that eternal life. So they rejected the prophets. The nation of Israel rejected the message of the prophets time after time after time. And it was all a message about Jesus. And it's no wonder that when Jesus showed up, they rejected him as well.
Yeah.
They had been rejecting his story from the very beginning. And Jesus just called them on it and said, if you had believed Moses, if you had really genuinely authentically believed, yeah, what Moses wrote about, you would have believed me. Why? Because he wrote about me. So what were the prophets trying to say? That there's a person coming. His name is Jesus. So if you receive the message of the prophet, you're going to receive the reward that they bring. What is that? Eternal life.
Yes.
It's the reward of believing in Jesus.
Yeah, don't get lost in this saying, ooh, rewards. I wonder how much and how big. No, there's nothing better. There's nothing more valuable than eternal life. Everything streams from eternal life, not from some behavioral issue that I earned something. This is literally believing in Jesus and receiving that life.
Yeah.
Well, I said that it was the last question, but we got one. I think we can sneak this one in from an anonymous listener. What will happen before the rapture as a prelude to the rapture? Well, you need
lots of things. a short answer.
That's all in God's
yes,
hands. When Jesus comes back, that's the Father's business. He's going to send him back at the right time, and we're waiting, expecting, and that's the reason we're doing that is because of the good news of the gospel.
Yeah. Well, we don't have a time clock on today's broadcast, so we're kind of going blind, but that's okay. I'll know when to stop when the music stops, I guess, anyway. Friends, you are invited inside the studio to view the live broadcast every day on Basic Gospel through either our Facebook page or our YouTube channel. You'll find direct links on our homepage right there at basicgospel.net, right under the Israel banner, and I want to remind you of that as well. So if you click either of those links, Facebook or YouTube, about a minute before 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time, you'll hear and see the live program. So again, those live links are near the top of the page at basicgospel.net, right under the banner of our upcoming visit to the Holy Land, which we also hope you will get the information on and be a part of that. I want to remind you also, of course, of the importance of the issue of the believer's identity in Christ. It can't be overstated. And to help in that regard and to say thanks for your help this month, we're going to send you a copy of our five-message CD series, The Real You, to explain your true identity as a child of God. Donate online at basicgospel.net in Canada. Donate at basicgospel.net/Canada or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. You can use the Basic Gospel app, and you can use PayPal. And when you do, we'll send you a copy of the CD series, The Real You. Remember, if you have a question, call 844-322-2742 anytime, day or night. We'd love to hear from you. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, Bob Davis, with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.